Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and in the next two half-hour segments, I'm going to be updating research into the Oklahoma City bombing and related topics. I've done a lot of work on the Oklahoma City bombing in the past, and those tapes, or tapes of the research that I've done, are available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. I'll give the address, etc., for Spitfire right now, and hopefully later in the broadcast, time permitting. Spitfire can be contacted by mail at P.O. Box 1179, that's Post Office Box 1179, that's in Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. That mailing address again is P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire is A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E, that's A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E, at ix.netcom.com. Once again, that email address, A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E, at ix.netcom.com. I've talked about the Oklahoma City bombing in numerous broadcasts, including an eight-part series entitled Specialized Knowledge and Abilities. There's a half-hour segment update to the work that I've done on Oklahoma City. And I would also recommend a lecture tape that I did in the spring of 1996 entitled The Militia Movement, Enemy or Pawn of the State, in which I discuss my analysis of the rather complex Patriots and Militia Network, something that has been drastically oversimplified by both pro and con in that particular regard. And there's a considerable discussion of the Oklahoma City bombing in the context of that lecture. And all of those are available from Spitfire. There is also a list of and description of the various tapes available from Spitfire on the KFJC webpage. KFJC-FM is my home base station in the South San Francisco Bay Area, and that, by the way, is in the much ballyhooed Silicon Valley. You can dial them up on your web browser at www.kfjc.org. That's www.kfjc.org. Now, in my previous discussion of the Oklahoma City bombing, I have discussed my view that the Oklahoma City bombing was performed by not only Nazi elements, but in particular Nazi elements which, to a certain extent, have infiltrated elements of officialdom, and which in all likelihood were operating in conjunction with foreign fascist elements, in all probability German fascist elements, quite probably as exemplified by Andreas Strassmeier, a former German army officer with intelligence training, according to some, who also was the son of Gunter Strassmeier, Helmut Kohl's former chief of staff. Gunter Strassmeier was the architect of German reunification, and Andreas, according to the vitally important Germany Alert newsletter, was present at the reunification ceremony for the newly reunited Germany, which would have mandated a German governmental security clearance for Andreas Strassmeier. The Oklahoma City bombing is a more complex topic than has generally been represented by all sides, right, center, and left. And the admittedly complex line of analysis that I have taken on that is available in those other tapes. So if what I have to say during the next two half-hour segments does not make a whole lot of sense, I can appreciate that. Please do get a hold of the other tapes from Spitfire, and I think you'll find that things make a whole lot more sense than they might on the first go-round. Having said that, let me plunge right into the topic of discussion. In the first place, since I last spoke about the Oklahoma City bombing on tape, there has been a grand jury probe which has followed in the wake of the criminal trials of Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols, the only two who have been charged in connection with that bombing. I believe there's much more to the Oklahoma City bombing than we have been told. However, I believe, the event is far more complex than has generally been represented by all sides. The following article is from the San Francisco Examiner of Monday, June 30th of 1997. This is an AP story by Paul Query, spelled Q-U-E-A-R-Y. It's headlined, Grand Jury to Launch New Blast Probe, subtitled, Petitioners Say McVeigh and Nichols Didn't Act Alone. That, is, by the way, is my take on the thing as well. The article reads in part, With Timothy McVeigh awaiting execution and Terry Nichols facing federal trial, I would interject he has since been tried, a grand jury opens a new investigation of the Oklahoma City bombing Monday, prompted by two men's profound distrust for the official explanation of the blast. The men, one of them the grandfather of two bombing victims, collected 13,500 signatures to impanel a grand jury. In doing so, they ignored the objections of Oklahoma's Attorney General and Oklahoma County's district attorney, who has already promised state murder trials for McVeigh and Nichols. Quote, "The verdict will be that, yes, there were other people with McVeigh in Oklahoma City that committed the bombing," unquote, a confident state representative Charles Key predicts. Key and Glenn Wilburn, W-I-L-B-U-R-N, an Oklahoma City accountant who lost grandsons Chase and Colton Smith in the blast, say they were motivated by two basic beliefs: that a larger conspiracy was behind the bombing, and that federal agents had prior knowledge of the attack. Skipping down, Key and Wilburn also want the panel to look into a shadowy network of white supremacists and foreign nationals, and to ask hard questions about rumors that agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms had prior knowledge of the attack. The witness at the intersection of these two beliefs is Carol Howe, a former ATF informant now awaiting a federal trial on charges related to a bomb blast. A few days after the bombing, Howe told FBI agents she had overheard German national Andreas Strassmeier and white supremacist Dennis Mahone discuss bombing federal buildings months before the attack. Quote, "Why in heck haven't the feds gone out and brought these guys in?" unquote, Key asks. By the way, I think that's an important question and more complex than I think many observers have realized at first. Continuing, Strassmeier and Mahone have denied involvement in the bombing, and Mahone calls Howe a drug abuser and compulsive liar. If called, Howe is expected to testify that she told her ATF handlers about the conversations before the bombing. But those familiar with documents in her case, including McVeigh attorney Stephen Jones, say they show no specific threats or plots. Jones tried to call Howe during McVeigh's federal trial, but the judge ruled her testimony irrelevant. More about Carol Howe and her testimony and the judge later on. I would note that she claims that Timothy McVeigh was the protege of Andreas Strassmeier, again the former German Army officer and son of Helmut Kohl's former chief of staff, who was one of the security people at Elohim City, a white supremacist compound in Oklahoma, that McVeigh tried to call, or did call, before the blast. Strassmeier admits knowing Timothy McVeigh, but denies involvement in the Oklahoma City bombing. By the way, I would also point out that with regard to the infiltration of any organization, it is not unusual for undercover infiltrators to have knowledge, quite terrible knowledge, and yet not disclose that publicly. One of the most salient examples of that was the World War II experience in which the German Enigma code was cracked by the Ultra team in Great Britain. And when they got word of an impending huge German air raid during the Battle of Britain on the city of Coventry, they alerted Winston Churchill. However, Winston Churchill realized that if he marshaled the RAF, the Royal Air Force, to neutralize the Luftwaffe strike on the city of Coventry, it would reveal to the Germans that their code had been broken. So he sat by, and Coventry was devastated in a horrible air raid. The bodies were stacked like cordwood, and Winston Churchill was bound to remain silent. The world of undercover infiltrators is a dark world indeed, and often the world of intelligence can be altogether sinister at that particular level. So one should not oversimplify or be quick to condemn an undercover infiltrator who may not have broken information. This is, as I said, a more complex event than we have been told, and I believe that there is much merit to the charge by Timothy McVeigh's attorney, Stephen Jones, that an international fascist network with connections abroad was behind this particular incident. Turning now to the San Francisco Examiner of Monday, July 14th of 1997. That previous article, by the way, also from the San Francisco Examiner. However, that was from the Examiner of June 30th of 1997 on page A8. The following article is headlined, "Oklahoma Jury Probing Cover-Up Calls Witnesses," subtitled, "Two Reportedly Will Say They Saw Someone with McVeigh." It's a Reuters story datelined Oklahoma City, and it reads in part as follows, skipping down. Kyle Hunt, a banker from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, has said he saw McVeigh driving a light-colored sedan with two other men inside. He claims they were following a Ryder truck like the one used later that morning to blow up the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building, killing 168 people. David Snyder, capital S-N-I-D-E-R, a warehouse worker, has said he saw McVeigh inside a Ryder truck with one other man shortly before the bombing, and that they were driving through a downtown area at a snail's pace. The Sunday Oklahoman said both men and four others would testify before the Oklahoma County Grand Jury starting Monday when it meets to consider evidence of an alleged cover-up. Skipping down, McVeigh was found guilty and sentenced to death by a federal jury in a Denver courtroom last month. Alleged co-conspirator Terry Nichols will go on trial September 29th in Denver. But federal prosecutors have never claimed Nichols was in Oklahoma City on the morning of the blast, so any evidence showing McVeigh was with someone would suggest other people were involved. Key is one of the six people scheduled to testify this week before the grand jury, which was convened June 30th and begins its work Monday. The Sunday Oklahoman said three other men called to testify this week include Dennis Mahone, or Mahon, M-A-H-O-N, a self-proclaimed white separatist who was allegedly plotting a similar attack on the federal building. It said V.Z. Lawton, L-A-W-T-O-N, a federal employee and bombing survivor, will tell the grand jury about four men he met on the morning of the blast who said they were from the General Services Administration and were doing a routine security check on the building. I wonder if perhaps they were really from the General Services Administration, or perhaps those were the bombers pretending to be General Services Administration. Among the many discussions touching on the Oklahoma City bombing, by the way, is a series of interviews with Martin A. Lee, the brilliant author of the vitally important recent book, The Beast Reawakens, about the reemergence of fascism, and also interviews with the, again, brilliant author Stephen Wirth, who, along with Carl Jasper, authored the book Blood Oath, about the conspiracy to murder Nicole Simpson and frame O.J. Simpson for that. According to the informant that provided Stephen Wirth with his information, the same Nazi group that killed Nicole and framed O.J. also pulled off the Oklahoma City bombing. They had not only penetrated law enforcement, but they were highly sophisticated and could create uniforms, for example, imitating the West Tech security firm that was handling the security at O.J.'s place. And they also, at one point, represented themselves as PG&E workers in order to gain access to O.J. Simpson's premises, in order to gain some of his clothing to frame him for the crime. These discussions, I realize, are going to appear bizarre to the uninitiated. I've done numerous interviews with Stephen Wirth in the past in company with other authors, and there was also an extensive discussion of the book Blood Oath broken into a series of tape cassettes that's available from Spitfire. So please note these four men who V.Z. Lawton alleges were looking through the building on the morning of the bombing. Perhaps they were from the General Services Administration. I wonder whether perhaps they might actually have been the bombers themselves. Again, I think the work of the Oklahoma City grand jury is vitally important, and I think people analyzing the Oklahoma City bombing should be very careful not to oversimplify that event, something that has been done by many people on all sides. The San Francisco Chronicle of Wednesday, July 16th of 1997, carried a chilling obituary. This is an AP story datelined Oklahoma City. It is the obituary for Glenn Wilburn, who co-convened that grand jury and whom about whom you heard earlier. It's datelined Oklahoma City. It reads in part, Glenn Wilburn, who was so angry over the death of his grandsons in the Oklahoma City bombing and so mistrustful of the official investigation that he forced the opening of a new grand jury probe, died Tuesday. He was 46. Mr. Wilburn's death from pancreatic cancer came just a day after the panel began hearing witnesses looking into the possibility that there was a larger conspiracy and that federal agents had prior knowledge of the attack. Mr. Wilburn's grandsons, 3-year-old Chase and 2-year-old Colton Smith, were killed in the daycare center of the Alfred P. Mura Federal Building when it was destroyed by a truck bomb April 19, 1995. Well, again, stress can certainly bring on cancer. However, cancer as an assassination weapon is also something that had been perfected by the intelligence services of numerous countries and is in all probability now available to private groups as well. There's numerous discussion of that in the taped archives. I would refer interested listeners to discussions of the vitally important recent book Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional by Dr. Leonard Horowitz, and also the, again, vitally important recent book Mary, Ferry, and the Monkey Virus by Ed Haslam. Tapes and interviews, tapes of excerpts from those books, and interviews with the authors, again, available from Spitfire. Former McVeigh attorney Stephen Jones was among those who felt that there was an international conspiracy and an international network behind the Oklahoma City bombing, and that is my take on this as well. Reading now from the San Francisco Examiner of Monday, June 16th of 1997, this is a Reuters story headlined, McVeigh lawyer speaks of foreign links to blast, quote, others, unquote, tied to Germany and Mideast. Again, this is a Reuters story, Dateline Washington, and it reads in part as follows. People with links in Germany and the Middle East also wanted to blow up the Oklahoma City building for which Timothy McVeigh was sentenced to death last week, says his attorney, Stephen Jones. Jones, speaking Sunday on the CBS program 60 Minutes, said that that information reached the U.S. government through a paid and trusted informant who passed lie detector tests. By the way, that would be the aforementioned Carol Howe. He said witnesses saw sniffing dogs and bomb disposal trucks in the federal complex in Oklahoma City in the hours before the bombing in which 168 people died, and theorized that local law enforcement could not now admit that they had been warned about a bombing threat. A former Army buddy of McVeigh's, Terry Nichols, also faced charges in the bombing and is to be tried later. In the interview, Jones said that there was evidence to suggest that McVeigh may simply have been a fall guy and permitted himself to be used. Quote, I know that others had an interest in blowing up the Murrah building several years ago, unquote, Jones told 60 Minutes, again quoting, I know they were told to prepare. I know they had copies of homemade C4 plastic explosive books. They had bunkers. I know they had connections in Germany. I know the people there had connections within Germany and had connections in the Middle East. Quote, I know who some of these people are, Jones continued. I know that their leader told them, you know what needs to be done, so now go do it, unquote. Jones said an informant had passed a polygraph when giving the same information to federal authorities and was determined to be reliable and credible. By the way, some of the links in the between the Oklahoma City bombing and the O.J. Simpson case and a recent program of white supremacist terror, also discussed in two miscellaneous segments available from Spitfire entitled Where Was Mark Furman on the Night of June 12, 1994? And another segment called To Sandpoint and Beyond. And I refer interested listeners to those segments as well. Note, please, the allegation by Stephen Jones of connections to the Middle East and also to Germany. One of the many elements of overlap between some of the milieu that is implicated in Oklahoma City and the Middle East would involve, oddly enough, the Waco siege, the brutal siege at the Branch Davidian compound in Texas, which I personally believe to have been a domestic intelligence operation by a Nazi element, literally a fifth column movement within our intelligence system, was supervised not by people from the Clinton administration, but rather by Bush Justice Department holdovers with apparent intelligence connections, including a number of Bush Justice Department officials such as Richard Scruggs and Ed Dennis, although Ed Dennis was not present. He wrote a report exonerating Janet Reno of responsibility. These people were connected to the interagency or were part of the interagency governmental networks that were utilized by George Bush, former CIA director, then vice president, later president, for the machinations in both the Iran-Contra and Iraqgate situations. Both of those national security scandals were affected primarily by an interagency governmental network that grew out of the Vice President's Task Force on Combating Terrorism. And that private intelligence service run by George Bush literally was the main vehicle not only for the Iran-Contra and Iraqgate machinations, it also, veterans of that, were in charge of the Waco situation, which has served as an incendiary incident to spark a program of fascist terror in the United States. It also was one of the motivating factors, reportedly, for Timothy McVeigh. The outrage that many felt over that incident is understandable. I think, though, that one should be careful about oversimplifying, once again, the authorship of that situation. Note, however, that some of the operators in this private intelligence agency, the veterans of this interagency governmental network that George Bush utilized for Iran-Contra, were involved with the arming of Saddam Hussein in the Middle East. They also were in charge of the siege at Waco. And, of course, that siege and the brutal deaths of the Branch Davidians has sparked public outrage and has been one of the rallying cries for some of the fascist and Nazi terror that we've been seeing in this country in recent years. But, again, I would be reluctant to oversimplify the Waco situation. You heard reference to Dennis Mahone, the white supremacist leader that was one of the people subpoenaed in the grand jury probe. The San Francisco Chronicle of Thursday, July 17th of 1997, has information about Mahone. This is an AP story datelined Oklahoma City, headlined, White Supremacist Takes Fifth in Oklahoma Bombing Probe. A white supremacist said he took the Fifth Amendment when questioned yesterday by a grand jury investigating claims of a larger conspiracy in the Oklahoma City bombing. Dennis Mahone, capital M-A-H-O-N of Tulsa, who operates a dial-a-racist hotline and is a member of the White Aryan Resistance, note that, has denied involvement in the bombing. But he said he refused to answer at least some questions unless granted immunity from prosecution, and was issued a new subpoena requiring him to appear before the panel on August 15th. Mahone's girlfriend, former federal informant Carol Howe, told authorities after the bombing that she had overheard Mahone and German national Andreas Strassmeier discuss bombing federal buildings in the months before the attack. I would note, too, that Dennis Mahone was very active in recruiting white supremacists within the Los Angeles Police Department. Some of those infiltrators, according to Stephen Wirth and Carl Jaspers, as well as author Stephen Singular in his book Legacy of Deception, deeply involved in what Stephen Wirth's informant told them was Operation Thunderbolt. Again, the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson, the framing of O.J. Simpson. It was that informant, codenamed Skinner's assertion that the same group, CAUSE, an acronym for Christian Aryan Underground Special Enforcers, also pulled off the Oklahoma City bombing. I would note, too, that just as Andreas Strassmeier, a former German army officer and, according to the British anti-fascist Searchlight magazine, an individual with intelligence training, just as Andreas Strassmeier obviously had connections to German officialdom, so too have a couple of the people whose names have cropped up in connection with the Oklahoma City bombing milieu. And I'm not saying the Oklahoma City bombing, but I'm saying the milieu being investigated in connection with that. Please note that Dennis Mahone took the Fifth when queried by the grand jury. We're going to turn now to The Beast Reawakens, a vitally important recent book by Martin A. Lee. This book was published in hardcover by Little Brown and Company. It's copyrighted 1997. And as I speak now, in March of 1998, the book is currently available. Of Dennis Mahone and his contacts in Germany, because Dennis Mahone had extensive contacts in Germany, it was also the allegation of Skinner that Operation Thunderbolt was financed by a foreign terrorist group with unlimited funds, which was conducting a race war in its own part of the world that would appear in all likelihood to be a German Nazi element of one type or another. The contact man who handled security for Dennis Mahone when he was in Germany was a fellow named Bernd Schmidt. Now, Bernd Schmidt was a martial arts instructor in Solingen, whose martial arts school was a training ground for a number of German Nazis who were implicated in the firebombing of a house in Solingen in which a number of foreign nationals died. He also was a German governmental agent. So it's worth noting that Mahone's contact in Germany, Bernd Schmidt, was not only a German governmental agent but a Nazi martial arts instructor whose martial arts school had served as a training ground for some of the German Nazis convicted in the deadly Solingen firebombing, one of the elements of Nazi terror in Germany that had attracted garnered news headlines in the early 1990s. Turning now once again to The Beast Reawakens by Martin A. Lee. Of the Dennis Mahone-Bernd Schmidt connection, we read, Mahone's main contact in Germany was the Nationalistische Front, or Nationalist Front, a neo-Nazi group that sponsored the cross-burning ceremony outside Berlin. Bernd Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-T-T, the fascist martial arts instructor in Solingen, who two-timed as a government spy, was an important member of the Nationalist Front. In addition to directing battle games, unquote, at a front conference in August of 1992, he provided protection for visiting dignitaries who made the rounds of the German neo-Nazi circuit. And again, Bernd Schmidt's school was deeply implicated in the Solingen firebombing. Bernd Schmidt was also the contact man for a white supremacist attorney named Kirk Lyons, who runs a white supremacist legal defense firm, also, perhaps coincidentally, codenamed or named CAUSE, capital C, capital A, capital U, capital S, capital E, whether that's connected to the CAUSE group that Skinner alleges was behind the killing of Nicole and the framing of O.J. and the Oklahoma City bombing is a matter of conjecture. As we've seen in the past in connection with our discussions of Andreas Strassmeier, Kirk Lyons was not only the attorney for Andreas Strassmeier, but served as a go-between between Andreas Strassmeier and his parents in Germany, Gunter Strassmeyer and his wife. And also note here that the Ewald Altans discussed here, who was one of the top German Nazi leaders, the protege of Otto Ernst Rehmer, a key SS man and Odessa functionary, the Odessa being the post-World War II Nazi underground. And note here that Kirk Lyons, the aforementioned white supremacist attorney, was also shepherded around in Germany by the very same Bernd Schmidt, who wore the dual hats of a German government agent and also a Nazi martial arts instructor and security man. Speaking of Bela of Ewald Altans, also alleged by the German media to have turned up as an agent for the Verfassungsschutz, a German governmental agency, Altan subsequently arranged a fundraising tour for Lyons and Luchter in Germany. Luchter is a fellow who had alleged that there were no gas chambers. Fred Luchter was an individual who alleged there were no gas chambers at Auschwitz. Altan subsequently arranged a fundraising tour for Lyons and Luchter in Germany. Security was provided by one of Bernd Schmidt's martial arts-trained strong-arm squads. Schmidt was both a neo-Nazi and a secret police snitch, but he did not arouse the suspicion of Lyons during the 10-city sojourn. Instead, Lyons came to harbor serious doubts about Altans. Lyons got angry when he discovered that his young German host was pocketing most of the cash that should have gone to Luchter's defense team. So again, please note that Kirk Lyons' contact in Germany was the very same Bernd Schmidt, who doubles as both a German government agent and a Nazi martial arts instructor and security man. That also was Bernd Schmidt, was Kirk Lyons' contact in Germany as well as Dennis Mahone's contact. Dennis Mahone also with links running in direction of LAPD. The address, etc. for Spitfire, the tape duplication service that stocks all of the tapes that I've alluded to, and again, there's if the discussion has appeared somewhat confusing or disjointed, I've done a lot of work about the Oklahoma City bombing over the years, and there's a vast array of tapes that touch on that subject. They're available from Spitfire, that address, etc. Again, Spitfire, one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E, P.O. Box 1179, that's Box 1179, that's in Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire, A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E, that's A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E at ix.netcom.com. Once again, A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E at ix.netcom.com. There is also a list of and description of the various programs available from Spitfire, as well as a suggested reading list available on the KFJC webpage. That webpage can be found at www.kfjc.org. Once again, www.kfjc.org. Just point your web browser in that direction for the interactive Spitfire site on the KFJC webpage. By the way, we should also note that people who can access audio on their computers can listen to the long show that I do from 7 to 10 p.m. on Sunday nights on KFJC. That's 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time in the United States. I also have an email address, by the way. It's D-E-M-O-R-Y. That's D-E-M-O-R-Y at kfjc.org. Once again, D-E-M-O-R-Y at kfjc.org. And again, the KFJC website, www.kfjc.org. That concludes this half-hour segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.